Hello, my friends, and welcome once again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. It is the 24th day of November, and I want to just thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving here in the U.S. I want to spend one more day in the Melchizedek story. We'll talk Thanksgiving. I got some ideas and some things I want to talk to you about tomorrow. And then on Friday, I believe, we'll be jumping back in and closing out the 14th chapter and heading into the 15th chapter. We've already sort of introduced that start to the 15th chapter, that do not be afraid, I'll be your shield, and what that means. There's some 15 is going to slow us down again because we're going to get into actual cutting of covenant, the first true blue cutting of covenant in the Bible. And of course, you know me, I love to talk covenant, and therefore there's going to be some stuff we've got to work through. Speaking of stuff to work through, verse 20 of Genesis 14, Melchizedek, blessed be God Most High, this is what he says to Abraham, who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of all. And that is the most ambiguous sentence in the Bible, and it's caused a lot of consternation for our Jewish friends because they don't read the New Testament as inspired. The New Testament takes the 20th verse, he gave him a tithe of all. And in the book of Hebrews, it unequivocally claims that that verse means Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. If you only have the Torah in Hebrew, there's no indication as to who tithed to whom. It just says he gave him a tithe of all. In fact, the last he that was being referenced was Melchizedek talking to Abram. So there's almost, in the Hebrew, you can't tell. Is it Melchizedek that tithes to Abram, or is it Abram that tithes to Melchizedek? The book of Hebrews, as I said, unequivocally states that it's Abraham who tithes to Melchizedek. That makes the most sense from a New Testament perspective because the bread and the wine preceded the tithe. So, and by the way, in case you're wondering where that is, that's Hebrews chapter 7. How great a man Abraham is in verse 4, and he gave a tenth of the spoils, a tenth of the plunder is the word. Now, the reason it says a tenth is because the word tithe in the Hebrew literally means one-tenth. And yet, the word as it appears in the Hebrew is also itself a bit ambiguous. And so, there are some Hebrew scholars who believe the word has less to do with a tenth and more to do with a portion, which would mean that he gave him some. Now, what is undeniable is that when Torah begins to explain the tabernacle system and the priesthood system, it does use unequivocally the word for tithe, which is one-tenth, in telling Israelites that they are to tithe into the tabernacle slash temple and for a purpose. The tithe was an instruction to Israel to give a tenth of their first fruits annually. They were to, when they harvested their crops or once a year with their flocks, they were to give a tenth of what they had that year. If the flock had produced X amount of sheep, give a tenth of them to the tabernacle. If the field had produced so many metric tons of wheat, give a tenth of that to the tabernacle. Why? Because the leaders over the worship system of Israel was the tribe of Levi. Levi is not listed in the tribes of Israel because they do not have an inheritance. Their inheritance was not property or money. Their inheritance was the work of the Lord. And therefore, all of Israel tithed into the tabernacle or the temple so that the tribe of Levi could do their job. This was God's way of funding. And I'm going to use a word that's anachronistic. It didn't exist in that context, but this was God's way of funding the ministry, funding the church. And I hope you understand what I mean by that. And so here's a couple of things about it that's important. One is the tithe was to bless the local assemblage so that the leaders could do the work of God on behalf of the assemblage. The tithe was not a weekly event, but an annual one, in which as people harvested, they gave into, and this, not everybody would be given it exactly the same time, but relatively. And as Torah rounds out and God's giving sort of final instructions, we find late in the book of Deuteronomy where God tells Israel that, look, you're on a journey, you're going to be in the promised land, you're going to be spread out. He even tells them in Deuteronomy that when you get into the land and you're not near the temple, you're nowhere near the tabernacle, take the money and the first fruits that you would have used for your tithe and throw a party. Buy anything you would like for yourself. He even tells them that they can buy wine and strong drink, which has caused Christian scholars a lot of trouble. Here's God telling Israel, if you're nowhere near the temple, take your tithe and throw a celebration and enjoy a glass on me. And that's a tough one for some. But that was the Old Testament instruction of it. You get into the New Testament, the mention of the tithe is relatively Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees, saying to them, you guys have been tithing of everything. He says, but you're leaving aside the weightier measures of the law. And then Jesus says, it would have been better if you had taken care of what you should have. Don't neglect the other, but take care of what you should have. And that's caused us, I've had so many people argue for the tithe because Jesus says you ought not have not done the other part, but you need to do the part you're ignoring. And the point there is not tithe. The point there is they were tithing on stuff they didn't have to tithe on. That was Jesus' point. He goes, you guys are tithing on spices. You're not harvesting spices, but you're tithing on every single thing you have. He goes, but you don't even do the weightier measures of the law, like mercy and justice. He goes, you ought to be doing mercy and justice. Then you get into the writings of the Apostle Paul, who tells his churches to give, but never invokes the tithe. And why? Because Paul believed, as did the writer of Hebrews, that once you moved into a new priesthood, you moved into a new law, and vice versa. So with Christ as your high priest, he doesn't tell you to tithe on your weekly salary or your annual first fruits, but he does tell you to give in order to put seed in the bag of the sower. In other words, we don't have a natural temple with priests that need our tithe, but we do have ministers who cast seed, and hopefully the seed grows. And if you want that to continue, give. The word tithe doesn't enter into the equation. It doesn't have to, and here's why. Because as Christians, we receive in communion the bread and the wine of the Lord Jesus. Our response to the gift is to give. If you want that response to be limited to 10%, then so be it. But if you want that response to be as dictated to and directed by the Holy Spirit in response to the body and the blood, then I think we won't have a financial issue in ministries and in churches, because the more people receive the gift, the more people will give in response to the gift. And that seems to be the best way to really explain that giving through grace that I can possibly do. Okay, enough for today. Boy, I went long. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving, we'll talk about some stuff. I'm excited about it. I'll see you then. Have a great day. God bless.